actually raising a question in the wrong forum, as it were. And this question had to do with the AG saying that the leadership of the department, I believe, the leadership of the department and the entities, I believe, is effective. So they were coded in colors. So the color of the leadership was green, which means it's brilliant, it's good. But when it goes to items under the leadership grid, under that top layer that says the leadership is good, is effective, there are a whole lot of things that are not good, like that are not right, that are of concern, that are where an intervention is needed. So my take and my argument here is that there is no way that the leadership can be effective if their oversight responsibility is of concern and in some cases an intervention is needed, where the effective HR management is of concern and in some cases intervention is required. And all these things are listed under what, according to the AG, is an effective leadership. So I just want to raise that and say this is my argument, is saying there is no way that the leadership can be effective if all these things are of concern and are needing intervention or an intervention is required for them. And then my question share goes back to the presentation by the department where most of the targets were met, were achieved. Now, I need to know, just going forward, how do the targets get into the list of targets that are going to be sort of achieved for that period of reporting, if you like? Because do they get the targets from when they're going around doing their work in on the ground? Is there a target sort of bank where we prioritize and then say we are going to concentrate on this? Because the reason why I'm saying that is there seems to have been targets that have never gotten onto this list because mm-hmm. there are issues that have been of concern on the ground for a long, long time. And I'm just imagining a situation where this target will never see itself on the list of the targets being monitored because the list is long, there's a waiting list for targets. I just want some clarity on that. And also, still on the targets, there are targets that I need to be convinced they need to be on the list. For example, there is a target on construction. We will construct 18 centers. I mean, this is a Department of Social Development. It shouldn't be constructing anything. Or if it constructs, that is not the target. The target is to actually have the centers working, operational and functional. And so if you have built or constructed those 18 centers, then are you going to now have a target of having them functional? I just am worried about that. And also, I'm just concerned about targets such as creating job opportunities by the department. And my all-time concerning target is a reaching one, because I've never known how I would tell if a person has been reached by the department, what then, how should we know that these people have been reached, and what impact should that reaching have on them? And the last one, Chair, and this comes out of an engagement that I have recently, where it talks about the appeals, where a very good job has been done, in fact, according to the presentation, of processing or dealing with all the appeals. But how do we know if these are the only appeals mm-hmm. that there are, and how do people know to appeal? I mean, because from the people that I was talking to, they didn't even know what I was talking about when I was saying that, no, the department is really working hard on ensuring that all the appeals that land on their desk are being handled. So the issue here, I guess, is how do we get our 100%? What is it based on? Chair, I don't know. That's just what I...
I think they understand you. I think so. I do too. Okay, there's there were hands, honorable member, Mahas, Abrahams, and yourself. And then I start with the roll.
Thanks, honorable chairperson. I would also like to touch the targets, because I think that is very important. When you look at the departmental report on page 7, targets achieved, 92. Not achieved is 20. But when you look at page 13, with that not achieved, and you look at the budget of the department, and I'm just looking at the percentage, 99.6% was spent. Now, what concerns me, number one, and I say it every year to the department, you don't have proper baseline. Because you speak about, and I saw Mr. Buthelezi smiling at me about overachievement when he mentioned it. Yeah. And he smiled at me because he knows I'm looking at this overachievement. Because what is going to happen? You are spending such a lot on 92%. If you're going to spend 100%, and you're going to have those overachievements, you are going to have overexpenditure. So you have to speak to these things, because every year you try to make us understand. And I'm glad the Auditor General's office is here, because you always have a very beautiful explanation for us. So I think, because I want to ask that overall expenditure. Then the other one is when it comes to your environment. I know chairperson is forever speaking to the environment. And I know she hates them. Because we gave you the money. You came here and we gave you the money. And within the law they tell you, you know how your environment should be in the PFMA. But now the department is very good. They work within it. And when you look at your environments made from the main division, you have environment in administration, you have social assistant, program 2, you have program 3 and program 4. And we did bring up program 1 this morning with the AG, because you know how we feel about program 1 itself. Because we don't see you pinpointing there, this is what the ministry used. You know, you're not using the classification that we have in the treasury book, in the red book. And that worries us at times. And I think what's going to be important, because it's not clear in your annual report. And that's why I say the chairperson was not happy, because in 2015 it came up. You do not say from what economic classification the money was taken from. Remember in the previous financial year you told us, and we were not pleased indeed, because it came from one economic classification program that you were just taken it from. Additionally, you don't speak to the motivation. You didn't provide it for why you did that retirement. And what is important? And that you didn't specify, because I think it's important to say in that program to what the environment doing. I'm thinking of my pillow. What the environment went to. And we need the motivation for moving that money. And we need the economic classification. And what is important? We know, because we want to test, that you can't move money from capital expenditure. We want to test that. So therefore we ask him, from where? Because capital expenditure, we know according to the PFMA, should not fund current expenditure. And we know, like we said, because the auditor also said this morning, the environment should not be more than 8%. But we are not impressed when you do these environments and you don't tell us everything. And now I would like to go to this book, Cut and Paste. Cut and Paste. Department, page 22. This morning the auditor said clearly to us, you have two entities. And they told us last year you have two entities, page 22. But you insist on this cut and paste when it comes to your public entities reporting to the minister. Because there you put in the Central Drug Authority. And we know the Central Drug Authority is in program 4 and it's a sub-program. Even if it reports where it is a sub-program. So you're going to get rid of this page 22. Because the second year coming that you put in this page 22. And it shows us clearly a cut and paste. So we can question your whole book. Is it cut and paste? I'm only doing this so far, thank you. I still have more questions, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I've been covered greatly by my colleagues regarding consequence management, but I'd also like to know what happens, how are you addressing the regressing, because since I've been here, we hear about the consequence management, but every year it happens, the same thing over and over. If I have to work in this department, I would not be interested in doing the right thing, because you know if you do it wrong, it's fine, that's the right way to do it, and so on. I don't know if you're aware of the AG's theme this year. It's accountability, which is interesting. Accountability equals plan plus do plus check plus act. And I think I'd like to know how does the department act when they found that people have been doing the wrong thing over and over again. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to start also with the AG's report and. Just to reiterate a couple of the concerns, and that's particularly on the regression, okay. And I get really, really concerned when we regress on proper record keeping, daily and monthly controls, regular, accurate and complete and financial performance reports. That's alarming. That's really alarming to me. Particularly concerned to us and obviously of particular concern to the AG was designing and implementing IT controls. And I know that we queried last year that one of the overspends or one of the violence that was made or one of the major expenditures was on new IT systems and new computers and all of that. And then all of a sudden it comes up in this report. But one of my biggest concerns is that under governance, it's a huge concern to the AG, and it now gives me actually shudders to hear we don't have an audit committee, or you didn't have an audit committee. With a portfolio that has one of the highest amount of money plowed into it, and we don't have an audit committee, I find that extremely alarming, and I want to know what's being done about it. Other concerns that the AG have raised is underperformance at senior management. Accounting officers and authority are a concern. Executive authority is a concern. And again, the DSD particularly not having an audit committee. It makes me shudder. On your report, I'm going particularly to page 20 of your report. On this one. It's the slides under Program 5. Program 5, Social Policy and Integrated Service Delivery on Community Mobilization and Empowerment. Found it? Okay. All much excitement. Wow, we did so well. We were only supposed to reach 450 wards, but we got to 2,058 wards. Divide that by 365 days in a year, you did 5 wards a day for 365 days. I'm sorry, I question that, because I do not believe that it's possible. I presume this is Mkonzo and ICROP, is that correct?
No.
No. It's more than that. Okay, can we get clarification there? Because doing 5 wards a day for 365 days in a year, I find that, so I'd like clarification on how you got to that. Our chair, and then I will leave it there because all the rest of my questions will come from the annual report itself. Thank you.
Okay, but though we combining both, we use the
what is that, the last report in as a vehicle to clarify issues in the actual annual report.
Yes.
Well, I also join this committee in actually appreciating your presentation, DSD. But indeed, I am very worried and very much uncomfortable because the matter of violence has been raised by Auditor General in this particular portfolio committee in their report. We have actually raised it. It was page 13 in the last annual report. Can you really tell us why you've gone back to that? And secondly, there is a crime being committed here, I'm honest. How do you move funds from a particular program and then you go to another program, you remove funds from that other program back to the one where you took? What were you actually doing? No, I'm not sure whether I've read this properly, but I think it's in page 14. Can we look into that? An amount of that was shifted to program one, to fund increased expenditure level at a minister, deputy minister, involved in social sector outreach. But it's not clear to us what was being funded exactly there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to program three. Social Security Policy and Administration. You're taking that amount from Program 3 to Program 1. Can you see that?
Yes.
The department must tell me whether my spectacles are not working well. Because I can't understand. And then Social Policy and Integrated Services. Then you go back, Program 4. You know what it is, then that amount shifted from program 4 to program 5. An amount of 6 million from program 3. Almost all the programs, there must be a shift.
You cannot, acting DG, make a fool of us. Because when we sit together, very honest and working very hard, this time I think we even worked harder to get to the debate in the House. Having identified these actual serious mistakes of actually hiding what you want to budget for and put that budget on another item so as to be taking it through vehement. And we have raised this concern. That's why I'm very, very concerned. We did raise it properly, even together, that there's so much, I mean, vehemence. I remember the answer you gave was that you are allowed to a particular percentage. But we were actually arguing that allows you, when a crisis arises, it's not a routine norm that you budget for the purpose of rebudgeting outside the budget process. I really want us to get answers in this one. Why is it, over years, you know at least the level of amount required, even if it's not 100%. But you can see this is deviation, I'm honest. Not unless I'm convinced otherwise. Can we actually talk clearly these issues out? Because even if we recommend, even if we raise this matter with the minister, that it must never happen again. The time I remember was when employee compensation was actually rerouted back to program one. And some from welfare services, even here. What if it's a welfare service? When you remove it, because you budgeted it for it, how are you going to do what you had budgeted for? Please help us out.
Please, honestly, department, help us.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much for the question. We will respond to the questions as the team. I have the executives with me who are going to address. They have noted different questions that are outlined to their respective portfolios. Honorable Chairperson, may I respond to the first one with regard to governance, with regard to the audit committee, by Honorable May Wilson. We do have a functioning audit committee. What happened in the last financial year, some of the members were no longer available. Yeah, but after that, we have since filled all the positions. So we do have a functioning audit committee. If I can make an example, Honorable Chair, next week there is an audit committee meeting that will be sitting in the department. So we've tried to ensure that we attend to the challenges of ensuring that we have a functioning one. It was there, but they didn't correct because some of the members have resigned and so on. So we do have that in ensuring that there is good governance in the organization. In terms of the issues of the environment, we'll address those. The CFO will assist you with in that regard. I would like to also respond on the issues of the irregular expenditure in terms of page, I think it's 51. Let me quickly. In fact, Honorable Chair, we did not regress. We are addressing, we're doing our best to attend. 187, yes, of the annual report. When you look into, my apologies, page 187 of the actual report, when you look into the extreme right column is that financial year to 2015-2016, so the current financial year is 16-17. It was reduced from 42 to 5. We did not 5.5. So we are doing our best to reduce, although we're still there. It's true that some of the irregular expenditure is based on non-compliance with the SCM processes. I want to relate this with the consequences management. That's the question that you have asked. We are addressing the issues of consequences management. Some of the challenges that were there was the fact that our loss control committee was not meeting regularly. We have revised our loss control committee, and then they are meeting consistently. We have started to manage issues of consequences management as we speak. There are those that have also received sanctions accordingly. Maybe in the next meeting we can share with you how far we are in terms of those issues. I must indicate that there was a backlog in terms of addressing these issues. So we have since eradicated the backlog. The person now who is assisting us, who is chairing the loss control, is our advocate who is part of this meeting. And that's our position in terms of ensuring that we clear that. We want to also put a clear message in terms of ensuring that SCM processes are managed efficiently and effectively, and no one should also interfere with those processes. Hence, maybe in the next report you'll see a better report in terms of how we are managing this. As far as a consequences management is concerned. And then the next one, I'll ask my colleagues to respond. I'm just checking where I've written some of the responses that one has prepared. A safe home in the internet.
Okay, but I would have liked whether
Mrs. Nelly Uguti Uke uPaule nawe kule nto yokuba. We discussed a lot last year about you were even warned to reduce his outreach and Imbizo matters. You were really warned. And if you remember, you were also because you had finished Yonki Mali. But here you are now, you're going back to that. For example, now I would want to be educated properly as to when you say this money was due to increase the expenditure levels for the minister, the deputy minister, and staff in social sector outreach program. What? Because this is just color-coded. You don't understand what it really means. And second, was this expenditure not budgeted for? Because when you budget, you prioritize what you will be doing. Mm-hmm. Under no circumstances are we going to agree on these matters, because they actually put us on the spotlight as if we are not doing anything. We really pleaded with you guys to refrain from this one, but you continued though. So I see the CFO. The CFO the department. DC cannot just approve what the CFO presents. Not unless we don't understand the process in actually funding a particular project. Remember, this nearly I've said, if you go out for a to Kwamhlabu Yalingas for any child week there, you're supposed to have a business, a concept document where you're supposed to outline all the expenses that is going to be required. So that when we want to evaluate whether we actually, there were benefits for that spending, we are able to say, this is exactly how this money was spent. It can't be a blank check. People go, sleep in hotels, have whatever they have, do everything. But then when funds get actually shrinking, you go and make vayament. And we discussed the issue of the percentage, that it is not obligatory, and we actually said we must refrain from it. I want to maintain this one. Not unless a hand on the part of the members of parliament are going to say it never happened in this portfolio committee. But as far as I understand, it did. Please don't shift it to the CFO, because the approval lies with the leader. The leading that has been we're talking about here, how do you lead?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As Honourable Members were asking questions, I was also writing the responses and questions at the same time. So I was not shifting a responsibility in responding on this one. I wanted the CFO to cover other issues. On this one, I'm going to respond to it.
Please do.
Honourable Chair.
Please do.
Yes. With regard to this one, we are, as much as when we plan, remember we do our planning, and when we get our budget, we also reprioritize and see how best we can manage the work of that financial year. So at times you find that there are challenges that will make us to go for vayament. And in terms of Section 43, Honourable Chairperson of the Public Finance Management Act, it does give us the authority or the responsibility to do that vayament, and then also ensure that we also get the support and the approval from Treasury to effect that vayament as proposed. So in terms of what we've done, Honourable Chairperson, it may look as if we did not do what we are supposed to do, but we have followed what is there in terms
Thank you.
Of...
There is an order. Honourable Solet.
It's not an order as per se, but I just wanted, maybe perhaps in the same session that she's raising, because I don't know, today you seem to be so defensive, kakhulu ezintweni ezibuzwayo, from since morning up until now. I don't know whether that session, it covers the part that say you should be careless in doing the environment. Because what we are discussing here, Chair, they are carelessly doing that simply because they know that there is a law, there is an act that allow vayament. Now we can just do it the way you wish to do it. You said it very well, Chair, that last year we deliberated on this matter for a long time. We deliberated, and they were even angry. I remember that meeting, Chair, was down there in NCOP. There were tantrums, there were a lot of things that were there when we were raising this matter. We agree. There is law, but it doesn't say when you apply that law, you have to be careless in applying the law, simply because the law covers yourself. What we see here, Chair, myself, I told myself that I was not going to talk a lot on this issue of vayament, because last year I was one of those people who were really stressing the issue of abuse of vayament. Because what you see here, this department is really abusing that act. And this environment, maybe perhaps we should get at a stage where would really, it's a pity, because program one is not audited. Because maybe perhaps we would have seen what is going on, because a lot of environment goes to program one.
a lot of it goes to program one. So what I'm trying to say, Chair, the app does not say abuse it. Because the way she's explaining it, the act, yes, there's an act that allows for that, but on the act, there's nothing that says you must abuse, because what we see here is an abuse of an act, Chair. Thank you.
Remember that in that discussion, we were actually hammering the issue of a legitimacy in what would environment would be, and we actually went to a point when we were saying we can't approve budget here for something else, and you go and use it because Treasury agrees or AG agrees or the law allows you. Because when we budget here, we put our minds together, we work day and night in order to ensure that the budget goes to where it is supposed to. Why do we have to waste our time if the law is going to allow you to just do environment? Honorable Mamakas.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I'm agreeing fully with you. And I don't want to motivate or say, why do they do this movement? And it's the truth, like I said at the beginning, of these concerns. Because a person just feels they are abusing. Honorable Chairperson, if we are going to continue this way with them, then I'm going to motivate again that when the department gives us their annual report, we want their operational plan too, that we can see what are they changing. Thank you.
And it's a good question that Umam Mankas is putting forward to Enaneli, because if you take so much, what happened to the actual program or item that you budgeted for? Now that you're taking away and you continue to put this budget book in front of you, and you continue removing and removing to other programs, it means it's re-budgeting. It can't be done in this manner, because you go back to those items and check where you can pick out and pick out, which means there is a program that was not budgeted for. The issue of Imikonzo and the other things were discussed very, very effectively last year, and we agreed that you will have to reduce with the minister committee, because we actually raised the Lendo Yoguti. What do you say you have achieved? If there was an imbizo and 20,000 people came, what then do we achieve? What are we going to say this is the benefit that they got?
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think this issue of environment, we all agree that it's part of the legislation. But the questions that we are asking, yes, it's part. It's part because if there are emergency that you need to deal with, you know. But the challenge that we are having with this one is to move, is to have an environment on this particular yes, and then you move on the other one, you take it back. Is it really what the act is saying? Or it's something for, you know, just to say, no, this, I've got a problem here. But if you go from this class to this particular vote and then go to this side, it becomes a problem. So Tina, we want to understand the reasoning behind that. If we can know the reasoning behind that, because to us, you know, as a public representative, it's like there is a lack of correct planning. When we approve as members of parliament, we approve the budget for the department, but the actual planning is not really taking place, because you can't move from this program to this program and do the same thing of the environment. Maybe we want to get an understanding on that particular matter, because, you know, if it happens every financial year, to us it talks to the issue of the lack of planning correctly. So we just need, we are not disputing that it's part of the legislation, but to us, it shows that there is something wrong that is happening. Thanks.
Can the department, maybe we're not reading it correctly, can someone read under environment? Can you do that, Taba? Read it yourself and also listen to yourself. As you do that, please. Maybe I'm not understanding that.
That's why I'm saying English is a difficult language. Let them read for us.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. I'm on page 14 of the annual report of the DSD on the second paragraph on environment. It reads as follows. At the closure of the 2016-17 financial year, the following environments were affected. Payment division, number one, program one, administration, with a budget of 11.619 million, it says, an amount of 11.619 million was shifted to program one to fund increased expenditure levels for the minister, the deputy minister, and staff involved in the social sector outreach programs. Secondly,
from where? That's what it doesn't say.
I was reading as it is, and from what the chair was saying, but I'm sure when they respond. Yes, I'm sure they respond, but it should be from Program 3. Program 3, which is Social Security Policy and Administration, which had a budget allocation of 11,727,000,000. 11.727 million. An amount of 15.727 million was shifted from Program 3 to Program 1, Administration, and Program 5, Social Policy and Secretariat Service Delivery. Program 4, Welfare Service Policy Development and Implementation Support, which had a budget of 2.759 million. An amount of 2.759 million was shifted from Program 4 to Program 5, Social Policy and Secretariat Development, to fund increased expenditure levels in community development. Program 5, Social Policy and Integrated Service Delivery, which had a budget of 6.867 million. An amount of 6,867,000,000 was shifted from Program 3 and Program 4 to Program 5 to fund increased expenditure level in community outreach programs and additional funding required in population and development. That's where it ends, Chairperson and other members.
Honorable Toilet.
Chair, imbi ke kodwa le nto. Le environment le noma bayithetha ngeshore nje kodwa imbi. Chair, I'm interested now in knowing, now that we have read this part and we are really on it. Especially on the first figure there, Roman figure one. The 11.619 million was shifted to program one from where, I don't know, from program three. And program three is the social security policy and administration. Program three, kulapho usasa ewela khona, did? I'm just trying to check. Check, maybe we really need it because it says the expenditure level for the minister, deputy minister, and staff involved in social security, social sector outreach program. I'm really interested to know the breakdown of that 11 million where I'm sitting. I want to know because it will be really bad in this country in the face of poverty if a chunk of that money has gone to traveling. If a lot of money that there, it has just gone to traveling, accommodation, those expenses without service, the actual service delivered, this will be so, so bad in the face of poverty in this country. I'm interested, I don't know if they can really give us a breakdown now or the breakdown will come later, but this is one area that I would not want to leave this committee without knowing this in this financial year, so that we prevent it for the next financial year.
honorable member to fund the increased expenditure. What does that mean? What expenditure? Because the minister has got a ministerial book and every other thing that happens to the minister's office, as well as the deputy minister. Now you're taking from this particular budget, they are increased. What was happening to those staff members? No, this one must be answered at least.
Yeah.
This one we need really answers. You know, this whole, this page, it actually made us to run mad last year. Because of what was actually happening, including employee compensation and taking from the core business of welfare, into administration. Why is this administration not funded properly? But can I say, acting DG, there is something funny in our participation, all of us, that we sometimes believe we can hide information, because we have been calling for this particular organogram, and whether it has been fully populated and therefore budgeted for, so that you don't have issues of program one having a shortage of funds. And secondly, we have always wanted to know how many people are in the minister's office in order to know that it is in line with the ministerial handbook. What is in the office of the DG, and what are the risk management in terms of usage of telephones, usage of the claims for S&T. These are falling under program one. But at the same time, I've been wondering why somebody spoke about construction. Why are you also contracting? Because I looked into one thing of a cancellation of a contract. And the SEBI buildings we have been able to visit, which were established by the DSD, for example, in Free State, that steel house, which was still building, and the poor workmanship that was in there. The issue for me, are you having a capacity that you can be able to have specification of construction and also monitoring of that when you are a department that deals with soft issues, social issues? Because all these things, we need to clarify this thing, because now we have had enough from Amanxeba ukuxelelwa into ba we are not doing anything. Sifuna impendulo apa, singaninika imizuzu noba mithathu nixoxe ngalento. Can I give you 5 minutes?
Please, so that you can share your ideas insofar as this environment, and actually come back to tell us what happened to our agreement, that this is not going to happen.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Oh, you want us to?
Yes, can you tell us the one who tells you about the three of you? This law is not going to help you now. That law. That's
the way
of the law.
And we are the ones that are making laws.
Yes.
We are the law.
And we give the money.
We are the law.
We give the money, but they move the money.
Check.
kuhlonyezele kuba nathi apha emzantsi siadopte le nto yenziwa kwezinye ikhantri xa bereporta apha amapolisa aselaphaphandle umntu akuboshwa kwezinye ikhantri zezojalo umntu uboshwa
undetipalamente
inokufuneka iadopte loo nto ngemdala
We are not going to be able to do this. Otherwise, we are going back to the country and come back. That's why you are giving you some money at a time. So that's why you are giving you some money at a time.
So, yeah, but how have you been? Thank you. Acting DJ, thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, I nearly got excited. Honourable Chairperson, we're trying to open our the presentation. There is a report on the that we have shared with you. I don't know who has said.
Yes.
The BRRR report, where we have clearly outlined, there is a slide two where we clearly outline, how we have done the environment. I must indicate that when we started the financial year, our budget was reduced by 8.7 million. Just a second, Honourable Chair.
Okay.
Yes. So our budget was reduced by 8.7 million, and that on its own was a challenge to us. We must also indicate that Program 1 is underfunded. We'll also, we have a slide where we share with you what are the sub-programs within Program 1. So you'll find that in terms of we have the mandatory services that we need to pay as a department, where you find that the programs, they do not pay for those services because they fall under Program 1. So when we do the environment, these are the programs, the services that we ensure that they are paid through Program 1. I want to request the CFO, Honourable Chair, to quickly take us through, starting with the other slide, second slide, on the environment in terms of which mandatory services benefited in terms of this environment process in the department. CFO?
Thank you, Honourable Members. The mandatory costs that under Program 1, and this is the challenge that we have in the department, because we want to apply almost activity-based costing in the department whereby we allocate these mandatory costs to each program. However, in terms of the Treasury rules, we're not allowed to do it, and all these costs must be under Program 1. If you take, for instance, AG audited Program 3 and Program 4, but those costs were charged under Program 1. So these costs, for instance, all these mandatory costs like the auditor's fees, the communication cost, the government fleet services, computer services, security and cleaning services, our leases, particularly where we sit in Pretoria Street in the HSRC building, and then Program 3 has got its own building at Harlequins, in Harlequins. So that's the cost that's borne within Program 1, because we cannot put it under the separate programs, Jefferson. And then the leases with regards to printing solutions. These are all costs. But what we must say with regards to the entire budget and in terms of baselines of the department is that the department is severely underfunded. And the budget cuts that's been effected since last year, this year and next year, has put further strain on the department, and I think we reported the fact that just with regards to personnel on its own, I think we lost 124 posts just on the compensation side. In terms of the goods and services, it and then placed also severe pressure on the department in terms of paying for all these costs. Now, to come back to the question around the environment in Program 1, particularly Program 3, and this is Program 3 with their own building, their own cost for rental, ICT costs, these mandatory costs are borne also within Program 1. So these are costs that we have to take outside Program 3 and put it back into Program 1. With regards to the ministry, we've came here, I think, 2 years in a row, and we've shown the overspend in that particular baseline. And last year specifically, and I said it in the committee, that problem will go away because we will fix that baseline. Because from the time that we started this political term, that particular sub-program has been underfunded. And we said that we're going to fix it. Last year we said we're going to fix it so that this year we don't have the same problem. We were not allowed by the Treasury to even move a single cent into Program 1. And that's why this imbalance remains within Program 1, that we have to continue with vehement into the Program 1, particularly for this mandatory cost. And that's Program 1. But this is one program that's severely affected, and I think most of the, if you take compensation, most of the posts that we cannot fund is under Program 1. So that deals with the Program 1 and Program 3 environments, so that we just make it clear that we have indicated in this committee around the underfunded around Program 1. But to put it in perspective with regards to these mandatory costs that's borne by the department, for the entire department, and these costs have to be borne in Program 1. It can't be allocated in a separate program. So if we take the next slide, it then indicates the cost in terms of the goods and services cost for each of the sub-programs under Program 1. It's 157 million. But the biggest cost drivers, and I think those are in the middle, those are the mandatory costs that is actually borne on behalf of the whole department. So if we strip that out, the actual cost to run Program 1 in terms of the operational cost for Program 1 is then 53.9 million, which is basically then in line with the rest of the other programs. Because if you only view Program 1 in terms of the budget allocation of 157 million, it actually looks as if Program 1 is overburdening the department. It actually looks like Program 1, the goods and services, is representing almost 50% of your goods and services budget. But it's actually, you can see 103 of that is mandatory cost, and it's actually not, it's associated cost for the entire department. So the real expenditure and the real goods and services for Program 1 is only the 53.9 million. And that's how we want to put this into perspective, that Program 1 is an issue around mandatory costs, it's an issue of those costs can't be allocated to the other programs. It has to be in this program. And that's according to the Treasury, and we can't move on that one. Chairperson.
Honourable Wilson, and let's keep our debate short because we are short of time.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear what you're saying, and I understand that, but I will only accept that to a degree. Last year, beginning of this year, I submitted a written question to the Minister, which she responded to with regards to the travel. 65 odd days we spent in the United States alone last year with delegations of between 5 and up to 9 people at a time. That falls, and I'm talking about administration and travel. I hear what you're saying where you're underfunding, but there are also huge areas where some things can be cut and reconsidered that we don't sit with the situation. I will accept what you're saying, but I only accept that to a point. I'm sorry, I find that this budget alone, this annual report, 97 million was spent on travel. 97 million. But we've got people starving out there. We've got 136 children dying a week from malnourishment-related diseases, but we're spending 97 million rand on travel. Only to a point will I accept that argument. Thank you.
You know, this type of response did not come last year when we were talking about this problem of firemen. And even when you came back for this particular budget, there was nothing that seeks to say some mandatory expenditure is not provided for. For example, it still is from the same budget because you give them funds in any way, which confirms our suspicion that these are hidden costs. They are hidden in another program to be taken to Program 1. Yet that funding does not come from, if Program 1 doesn't have
budget, why don't we talk about that to the highest level of this parliament? Instead of doing it the clandestine, where you actually steal from A to pay B, and at the end of the day, A is suffering because you have stolen from A in order to fit in B. But what I also want to raise here, Sis Nelly, and all the executive of your department, is that we are not able to know what exactly you need and to know what you exactly spend, because there's this game of borrowing from Peter in order to pay Paul. So we will never know that there's a gap because you actually fed into it, isn't it? We won't know that Peter didn't have money, only had to eat from Paul. Each one must have a dish. Yes, this dish of Peter is empty. Then you take from the full basin of Paul and you feed Peter. And in the end of day, we think Peter has got food as well. Yet he only ate half of Paul's food. But can I ask this question, CFO? I can say to you, as long as the financial discipline as to you agreeing to pay what you know is supposed to be paid for. That is why Sis Nelly was saying, because he falls under your supervision, you were the best to be articulating this. For example, if there's going to be calls, I want to repeat this. Do we actually have a business case, a concept document and all that is going to be required, having gone through you yourself and then approved so that he can pay? Because the issue of nilelepi, nilele ngamalini, bangakho abantu abaza kuya kulo msebenzi. I've seen at times abantu were not even supposed to be in the field when there's a field work you are doing. And secondly, for me, it has always amazed me. Why is it that there are no field workers on the ground? So from the DG sometimes failed to appear to account because they were somewhere in a campaign. We sat here and the DG, Mr. Former DG, acting DG, Mr. Magwaza, could not attend because he had went to a what week. What was the DG doing in a field work? And why is it that the people that are at a national level continue to go to work in Bulwa, to work in Tafalbanzi in Lisibisiki? Who are the office-bound people? Who are those who work in the field? Because they are keen to go there, with due respect, because they will claim. I do know that I actually personally went to one BNP after everything was done and asked that lady, can you tell me how many days did our people stay here and how much you paid? Was that cost effective? It was not. This issue, you must also know that most of us in this house have been employees before. We do have an experience of being an employee and wanting to leave what you're supposed to be doing to do something that would be refreshing at a particular stage. I think, Sis Nelly, do us this favor, because we are doing our bit. But I do know that all the papers of this country are going to be full of us and you once you get to this COPA. Yes, the finding goes there. They have the document as we have.
but they have all the research and the expertise to actually dig into it. That's why we are saying, why can't we replan and reorganize ourselves? Because this thing is not static, it's dynamic. There's always a movement forward, but there's a way of you lagging behind of the very program that is running from offices from Pretoria down to the smallest village of KwaZulu-Natal, Mhlabeyalingana. So these experience, these matters we need to take into consideration, because I know treasury. Someone told me that national treasury has got bureaucracy. We were complaining that the bureaucracy there does not allow us as municipalities to do work. But we were told, frankly, there will always be much, much more bureaucracy in relation to funds. So there's no way you can ever change their thinking. But if we think we want to do some work, we can do more with the legal we have. The homework that I can give you is to go and give us one sample of saying how much per community. Look at this population, something that was being done. Yes. You also have Mr. Nesipale with the community development, but you still shift to have population and community development on the other corner. Whereas that could have been included in that budget of Mr. Nesipale and not a separate program, because you always integrate. And he once said to me, he is responsible for integration. But I can see clear parallelism in the department, that each program is just having harnessed to be parallel lines that are never meant to meet. I appeal to you members, because of the time constraint, that we go ahead and we will see if we will call back this department to come and clarify, because we need our own space to be able to further discuss, because when we present this particular one, we must have clear recommendations that the minister must approve to. And once they are approved by the House, they will then be implemented. Maybe we fell short of doing exactly that, to ensure that what we are going to recommend, after a long discussion that we are going to have as this committee, we will make recommendations to the House. Once our report is approved with recommendations, then there will be two powers. The power that is actually in the legislation and the power that you legislators have. So bonomdala kulomthetho nalomthetho niwenzayo, so that things can go well. I don't know whether there are more questions, but now I'm convinced that we need also to reshape and be dynamic, because seemingly we are static. As long as it is traditionally done this way, it is our norm. There's no forward movement to chase times. So I think members must contribute so that we close this particular session. Thank you.
Ms. Olette?
Chair, not on my side, honestly, I'm not convinced. But then I'll just leave it there. I'll take it in the next meeting, because time is against us. I'm really, because remember I said I need more details. Titan imali, ndifuna nemali, rather than saying ukuthi le EAP, out of that, how much is it, 11 million? I'm not convinced, because I'm interested in knowing for the issues of transport and everything. So ndizawuyebamba apho kodwa ke baze nayo i-detail report chair siyazi uba laa mali ispendwe njani leya le mali yezivirements zapho. Enkosi.
Ndifuna ukuendosa kanye loo nto ithi they must give us i-example ye-requisition. What was actually requested and to do what that it ended up the DG and the CFO approving.
seeing that this is the money, indeed this program requires that this money be spent here, and how that money is going to be accounted for. We can't have so much violence, and we're unable to say, indeed, there was a crisis, they ought to. Sizobona kuba zikhona indawo apho bekutshe khona imikhukhu emininzi kwasiwa izinto ebekungalindelwanga ukuba zingasa. Sizawuqhwaba izandla ke nathi apho, but we'll see when they come back. Mandinikhulule ke kuloo note ndithi ikomiti ivile, we have heard. We thank you for your participation and your openness, but we think we are going to specifically continue to read your document and come back to you, so that when you come back, we are aware of the time. If time allows, during this week, members will sit even late themselves to work on this report, because all we want is a quality report. All we want is to ensure that our report is not negative compliance that we have gone through, and therefore this is the report, but a report that is going to enable this country serve its people properly. I think honorable members, I am free to allow them to go. Honorable Mankas?
I think what is important, we're doing NDA, so the senior management have to remain. The HLD, look here, we got CEO here, NDA here, sorry. I was looking at something else at the bottom. We got NDA here, but we need to have the acting DG, present. Because the NDA reports to the minister, and we need to have a senior management person in place here.
Board is here.
That's okay.
Yes, okay, but fine. I don't have an issue with that. Honorable Wilson?
Thank you, Chair. Now, I'm quite happy to let DSD go now. The fact remains is that some of us haven't interrogated this annual report, and there are a hell of a lot of questions in the annual report. So the sooner we get them back to interrogate the annual report. We're going to go into debates, and if we don't have answers before we go into the debate, it's not going to be pretty. Thank you.
That is fine. We will use all the energy to be able to read it page by page ourselves, interrogate it, clarify issues. You can phone them and ask questions. But all the same, at the end, we want a quality report so that we are all happy of the work we have done. So, I think I must take this time to welcome the chairperson of the the board member of NDA, but we will give you an opportunity, sir, to introduce yourself. We have seen the CEO and all other people have been able to inform us who they are, but you will be free to speak sitting on your chair. Yes, we sit on chairs and we chair on chairs. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm here on behalf of the board, acting chair in this capacity today for this meeting, with a mandate from the chair of the board. I do profusely apologize for arriving late to this meeting. I would not want to deliberate further on or to share too many details about the delay, but we'll certainly raise it in the board and with the NDA to avoid this happening again. So I do really apologize for that. The second thing I would like to apologize for is it's come to our attention that there was an oversight visit to KZN and the board was not present. I will certainly go back to the next board meeting and raise that issue, and I do apologize on behalf of the board. We take very seriously the members of parliament, the honorable members here, and the board feel a responsibility to work closely and to support any efforts by the portfolio committee to provide oversight. We as a board have also done some visits to do oversight and raised our concerns within the board and with the NDA, because we are sort of different sphere of oversight, but we see you as the ultimate oversight, followed only and presided only over by the people of South Africa as you are elected to represent them. So we understand that the people, then you, then other structures. So we really are apologizing. I'm apologizing for that failure to join you in the oversight visit to KZN. Finally, I would like to ask the CEO to do the presentation, but I would like to affirm the fact that the board has several subcommittees who have been meeting frequently, including Audit Risk Committee. There were concerns raised, and the most of the concerns have been solved and dealt with, and the board resolved to support this report. And now I want to hand over to the CEO to do the presentation. Thank you. Sorry, my name is Abraham Hanokom. I'm a member of the National Development Agency Board. Thank you very much.
Well, you are very welcome, Mr. Hanekom, and I also appreciate the fact that you have already apologized, because the honorable members were indeed able to identify that we will be somehow faulting if we allow your CEO to present in your absence. And I appreciate that members were very sharp on identifying the mistake that you might have committed. Because also as a committee, we must appreciate that if there's a structure that reports to us, we don't bypass that structure and allow other people to represent that structure. So I appreciated that guidance to me as well. So you are very welcome, and then you can be start presenting.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and again, our profuse and humble apologies for all the confusion that has delayed the meeting so far. We're here today with our board to present our National Development Agency annual report for 2016-17 to the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. We want to have a presentation outline that will cover the purpose, the general information about NDA, program performance information, report on governance, human resource performance report, audited financial statements, and challenges and recommendations to those challenges. We can skip that. Our purpose is to present the 2016-17 financial year annual report that comprises of the following sections: its performance information, its human resource report, its governance report, and its audited annual financial statements, and to detail the organizational performance challenges experienced by NDA during the financial year under review, to present the remedial measures to address the performance challenges that we endured, to request the Portfolio Committee to approve the 2016-2017 financial year annual report. Our legislative mandate, I won't go into detail with our legislative mandate, which is purely to contribute to poverty eradication by ensuring that those civil society organizations that are running programs and projects to eradicate poverty get some grant funding and capacity building to ensure that they can deliver efficient and effective service delivery programs into communities. And also to make sure that we dialogue, we engage, we do action research that will inform our programs going forward. Our vision is a society free from poverty, and want to do that by facilitating sustainable development through strengthening CSO involved in poverty eradication, through enhanced capacity building with grant funding and research. We are guided by the values of integrity, dignity and empowerment, accountability, transparency, excellence and partnering in our space of service delivery. We do all this programming in terms of delivering our services through a framework of civil society organization development framework, where all we do social mobilization to ordinary communities, whether through MECONS or whether through partnering with other government departments outreach programs and our own initiated dialoguing and engagement with communities. Then in those dialogues, we assess the communities, which groups or formations that they would want to establish to make sure that they form programs to participate in the poverty eradication. And we also consult and dialogue with them so that we are informed by their needs. We then classify them and we provide interventions as per outcomes of the assessment of their needs. Then we assist them to formalize whether they want to be cooperatives, whether they want to be NPOs, whether they want to be stock sales, whether they want to remain CBOs and with no legal authority. Then we put them through the program of capacity building, which is diverse in terms of what we deliver in-house and what we partner with other government departments in delivering and strengthening their capacity, more especially around governance of the civil society organizations. We then assist them to mobilize resources, whether financial or non-financial, within the program. Then we exit them through sustainable and independent linkages. Like if I can quote instance of cooperatives, where we make sure that we link them to the opportunities of school uniform production and food security, SRD, that they will be able to produce for SRD programs. So through that program, there are other CSOs that will come who are in different at different level, not needing mobilization as such, but maybe you'll find them that they're in need of resources, not a financial, maybe furniture and all that. Then it's where we'll assist to refer them where we are not able to do. And further to that, we have partnered with other government departments in terms of disbursement policies, in terms of these disposal policies. To say NPOs, most of the time, they would be covered in terms of the finances on delivering of programs, but you find that the furniture and all that is what they need. So through those policies and partnership with other government departments, we are able to say, if you don't need those chairs, those tables, there's a list of NPOs or cooperatives or CBOs that have requested proposals, but mainly is on furniture. So through those policies, we are able to save costs rather than just to dispose them, but we make sure that it becomes a resource to capacitate those civil society organizations. This is our proposed, it's not yet finalized, organizational structure, but it was for financial year 2016-17, this was the structure. But during transition, we are busy finalizing the decentralization as we are embarking on the second phase of decentralization. In terms of programs, we have program one, which talks to governance and administration, and that's where we're wanting to strengthen our processes, supported by our board, processes and internal systems, human capacity to deliver effectively on our mandate. Our key performance indicators, we're looking at number of executive meetings that we'll hold in a year. We had set target of 12, we did achieve that. We had number of partnerships that we had targeted. We had set 19, we achieved 22 through partnership, and it was through what I've just outlined in terms of going beyond just matter of partnership for the financial purposes. And timely submission of strategic plan and annual performance plan to executive authority, we've always been on time in submitting our annual report. And as we speak, I think we were the first agency to submit our annual report to the executive authority even now. Number of hits reached through NDA website and social media platforms. We had discovered that most of the people, they were not aware of what NDA was doing in the programs. But since observing through the social media, we have since seen the growth in terms of what is it that we do. But more especially in terms of advert of vacant positions, since we are decentralizing to provinces, young people are finding interest in visiting our website and things that we normally do. Percentage of staff audited for skills development, we had set 100%. It was a transition period where the morale was down and uncertainty, people were not sure. During transition period, there's that element of morale being affected. So we made sure that we reskilled, we aligned, and we ensure that people were secured in their environment of work. Continuing in the same governance and administration, performance of target employees attending identified skills development programs. We had 60 targets, and then we had met that target. Those skills are aligned to their line of work. We don't just skill them for interest of wanting to have a paper, but we want to skill them for succession plan, for opportunities that will emanate from in-house, which is NDA. Percentage reduction in the regulatory audit findings, we had 80%, but we actually did not do well. We are sitting, we're sitting at 80%, zero in terms of achievement. The 80% was increased in non-compliance with laws. This was due to the number of people that were affected in terms of transition. The morale was down. People felt like that's what we were discussing as EXCO, to say what could have contributed to people not doing what they were supposed to do according to the law. And two, most of the people were acting in different positions, so they were not yet clued up with what laws to comply with. Especially at EXCO level, most positions were vacant, and most people were acting while they were having their post portfolios in terms of responsibilities. Completed and functional integrated information system, approved ICT strategy plan. This plan we had not at that time yet approved, but the service level agreement and project plan had been developed, but the delays was due to the right service provider. Each time we would source for a service provider, we would find that they were not meeting the requirements of the specification that we were sorting to find in the market. Number of district offices established and functional. We have 9. We had targeted 9. We have achieved 10, and the one that is over and above is through negotiations and partnership, especially in the area of the office of province of Limpopo. We have this in each and every province, but Limpopo was most accommodative in terms of giving us space. Program 2, we're talking about civil society organization mobilization. Here we were targeting number of social engagements with CSOs on community development. We had set target of 2030, but we're sitting at 3,120 because over and above participating in Mekonza program, we go out, our field workers will participate in all other municipality initiatives, in all other taking parliaments to the people, in other forums other than that which we initiate ourselves. So that partnership has sort of strengthened the visibility and access of our services to communities on the ground. Number of CSO structures formalized in priority wards. So when we talk about these formalized structures, we talk about the NPOs that will start from scratch, not knowing where to go for the forms and all that, the ones that we assist, and then we refer to social development for final registration. We had targeted 630, where we ended up with 631. Then one was an over target. It means we met our target. Number of civil society organizations access in priority wards to determine appropriate capacity interventions. As I indicated in our model, that as we mobilize, as we engage in dialogue with them, we assess their needs. So in those needs analysis, that's where we find that the needs of capacity building is it's a targeted intervention, not a one-size-fits-all. So it's 2030 that we had targeted, and then we had 4,357, and then we exceeded the target due to the participation of the program of Mekonza and other initiatives, that outreach program by other government departments. Number of CSOs assisted to register with the appropriate legislation authority in priority wards, that was mainly cooperatives that we had linked to SRD, and cooperatives that we have linked to catering and had linked to sewing of school uniform. We had said 630, but we ended up with 713 with the assistance of the Office of the CEDAS in provinces, who are assisting us to facilitate for cooperatives the turnaround time of registration. That relationship had helped us to make sure the turnaround time of that registration is shortened. So number of CSOs assessed and referred to other agencies for technical and financial support in priority wards. We had 406, but we ended up with 1,403. In this one, when we talk about technical financial support, technical and financial support, we know that NDA doesn't provide technical skill or technical capacity building on sewing per se. We provide the basic that will unlock their potentials, like the machinery, equipment, and all that. But for technical, we'll partner with the TVET colleges, we'll partner with the mentor CSOs that have been doing sewing for some time. So in those technical ones, we partner with them to become mentors of those CSOs to ensure that they are able to deliver on what they have identified as a need to them. CSO capacity building, we had set number of CSOs trained and mentored to comply with the Non-Profit Organization Act. This is, we had targeted 3,000. This is through the partnership with the targeted social development in provinces, where the province will say, we want you to focus on these NPOs. So we enter into service level and agreement, then they will fund those to say, this is the one that we are struggling with, compliance, the narrative, and the financial reporting. That's the ones that we'll be dealing with. Others will say, we want you to mentor this one or incubate this one on the record keeping and bookkeeping and governance issues. So we have met our target. Number of CSOs capacitated in civil society organization management, we had targeted 2,000. We are at 2,880. We saw an improvement through partnership, and we've seen that through partnership we can go an extra mile. Number of NPOs trained in community development practices, we had targeted 450 due to our budget, availability of our budget, but we ended up with 706 due to collaborations with other partners. Number of NDA-funded projects exited into sustainable programs, we had set 140, but we are sitting at 168. The district officers contributed in making sure that the reporting and monitoring of the turnaround time of these identified ones was correctly reported on. On the program 4, which is research and knowledge management, we had number of research reports. I must say, number when you say a research report, we mean both for action research and the research that we had done in collaboration with the institutions of higher learning and other institutions like HSRCs. So we had set 16 reports, then we did produce on those. Number of best practice publications that we produced, we had identified 6, we ended up producing 10. Then we had number of dissemination sessions for research reports, we had set 6, we ended up with 7. It was due to partnership with STATSSA on those ones. Number of people who attended the research reports, we had targeted 240, but we ended up with 265 because extra forums had to come in terms of those academics that we were partnering with in terms of sharing information. Revised NDA monitoring and evaluation framework and tools approved. We had targeted to have approved MNE framework and tools. This was met as well, though it was met at the third quarter of the year, but it was finally met. Okay, we're moving to report on governance. The NDA board and committees, the subcommittees of the board, have assisted us a lot in making sure that during the transition period we remain within the prescripts of the law in terms of delivering our services to communities. The NDA board consists of 12 members and it operated through the following committees: Management Committee, Audit and Risk Committee, Human Resource and Remuneration Committee, Project Research and Development Committee, Stakeholder and Resource Mobilization Committee. The risk management strategy was revised and approved by the board. The internal audit compiled an annual coverage plan for the management of prioritized risk, which was picked up by internal audit and presented to the board. The NDA board, assisted by the Audit and Risk Committee, have reviewed the effectiveness of the internal control system, the operational risk covered in the scope of the internal and external audit, the adequacy, the reliability and accuracy of financial information, any accounting and auditing concerns identified through audits,
and compliance with legal accounting and regulatory framework. The board has also evaluated the annual report and discussed with AG, Auditor General, material aspects of the report. The human resource performance report, we want to report that the NDA had 180 employees for the financial year 2016-2017 to discharge their mandate of the population of South Africa, especially the civil society organizations. Africans are the predominant racial group, with female being in the majority at 58.9% as beneficiaries. The NDA has three employees living with a disability, which translate to 1.8 of the staff complement. We have a vacancy rate of 22%, whilst the turnover rate of the NDA is at 6.7%, following the departure of 12 employees. Four employees attracted disciplinary action due to non-compliance with NDA policies and procedures, as we indicated earlier that there was a 80% that was set, but we could not reach that target. There has been an action in those employees that were involved for and were responsible for that non-compliance to the legislation. 1.3% of personnel budget has been spent on training and development, while 3.3% has been spent on performance rewards. Personnel costs per program. Program 1, total expenditure, we are looking at 102,980 personnel expenditure. From that, it's 31,291. And personnel expenditure as per total expenditure is 14%. Number of employees, we have 58. And average personnel cost per employee is 539. Per program 2, where we are at the phase of service delivery, it's 72,153. Personnel expenditure is 37,233. Personnel expenditure as of the total expenditure is 17%, which is higher than the administration. And the number of employees is 99. An average personnel cost per employee is 376. The program 3, civil society organization capacity building, it's 47,418,872 at 4%. Number of employees is 16 there. It's still a fairly new program. An average personnel cost per employee, we are sitting at 554. That's an area of specialist, so to speak. Research and knowledge management, we're 4,888,3748. And in terms of percentage, we have 2%, and number of employees is 7. And this is a critical unit for us because it informs our program and our planning. Average personnel cost per employee, we're sitting at 536, and the total expenditure is at 220,762,000. Personal expenditure is 81,144,000, and the percentage as per total expenditure is 37%, and the total of employees, as I highlighted earlier, is 180, and as per average cost per employee, it's 450. Auditor of financial statement, I will now, Honourable Chairperson, allow my CFO to take us through the audited financial statement. Thank you very much.
Can I check from the members, should we continue? You will ask questions at a later stage. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. I'll quickly take the Committee through the the financial report for the financial year 16-17. I think firstly we'll start with the revenue that we had in in the financial year. During the financial year 16-17, we had received revenue to the value of 237 million, and while the approved budget was sitting at 230 million, I think members would note that our allocation itself, our official allocation that we received from the fiscal is currently, for that financial year, was sitting at 194. So the difference between 194 and 237 are the resources that we would go and raise through the resource mobilization initiatives, where we partner with other government departments and then use the resources to increase the service delivery that we can offer with the resources that are made available to us. And then the next four columns just quickly take us through how we had spent that budget in terms of the three key programs of the NDA. Program one, actually four programs, my apologies there, program one being administration. Program one was, we had spent 102 million, 0.9 out of a total approved budget of 112.9 million. So the total budget that was spent, or the percentage spending, was in terms of that program sitting at 91.1%. In terms of program two, the next three programs are basically the service delivery programs. In terms of CSOs mobilization, we had spent 72.1 million versus a budget of 70.4 million, so there was a slight underspending there of 2.5%. So overall, we've spent about the entire budget that was allocated for that program. In terms of program three, which is capacity building of civil society organizations and NPOs, we had spent 40.7 million against an approved budget of 41.3%. result, which gives us a percentage spend of 98.6%. Then the last program, which is research and development, which informs the programs that we must undertake as an organization, we have spent 4.8 million versus a budget of an allocation of 5.3 million, representing a total spend of 92% of that program's allocation had been spent. So in terms of the difference between the income and the expenditure for the year, we had a surplus of 16.5 million. So in terms of the revenue, basically the NDA receives its allocation from National Treasury, which we received through the Department of Social Development, and in the financial year 16-17, the allocation only increased by about 5%, whilst average CPI was sitting at 6.5%. So in real terms, we did not get an increase, because most of that increase would be eaten up by CPI, and which CPI is slightly more than the rate at which the allocation is increasing. In terms of key organizational expenses, such as rentals and employment costs, they increased by an average of 8%, while I think if you look at that against the allocation, I think it begins to say that as an organization, we are operating under tight financial constraints. And for the financial year, we are reporting a surplus of 16.5 million. Then I'll quickly take you through, in terms of the revenue, this is the breakdown of the resources that we've received during the current financial year. The allocation, 194, as I indicated, in the previous financial year, it was sitting at 184 million. So that allocation increased by 5.2%. Then the conditional grants, those are the resources that we had that we had mobilized through our partnerships with provincial Department of Social Development and other government departments and other partners that have come through and provided us with the resources to do to render or to increase the services that we can render with the little allocation that we receive of 194. So in that financial year, we had implemented or raised 35 million in terms of those programs. Then the other income basically is made up of the interest that we receive in the funds that we have in the bank, plus a management fee that we raise as we mobilize resources. Then we'll be given a small percentage of those resources to be able to cover our administrative expenses. As we can see, that there was a major decrease in the funds that we had received from partners. In terms of now, how did we spend the resources that we had? We had spent a total of 220 million in the card in that financial year against a budget of 230 million, representing 96% of that budget has been spent. How did we spend it? In terms of the two key areas, which is mandate and administration, or the first part being service delivery. In terms of mandate, we had spent 117.8 million, representing 53% of the actual expenditure of the total organization, in the entire organization. And this is how it was spent per program, 72.2 million was spent on program two versus a budget of 70.4, resulting in that spend of 102%. So basically we had slightly gone over budget by 2%. In terms of program three, 40.7 million was spent against a budget of 41.3 million. In that program, 98.6% of the allocation or the allocated budget was spent. In terms of program four, which is research, 92% of that budget was spent, 4.9 million versus a budget of 5.3 million. In terms of administration, 102 million was spent on administration against a budget of 112 million, representing 91.1% of the allocation. The 8.9% variance in the administration budget was partly due to delays in the establishment of the district offices, although we had managed to reach the target in terms of the number of offices, but we had planned that those offices would have been established by the second quarter, but most of them only came on stream in the fourth quarter of the financial year. Hence, there were some savings there because the offices were established later than was planned. So that was in short, the expenditure in terms of the program. In terms of the financial position of the NDA, this is the financial position of the NDA, and I think we can go through to the next slide. So this is basically the same balance sheet as it is in the annual report document. So I'll just quickly take you through the key items in the balance sheet. In terms of the balance sheet, the asset side of the balance sheet, we have total assets to the value of 102 million. Of the 102 million, I think 101 million is made up of the cash that we have, that we're sitting with in the bank, which represents 99% of the total current assets. And the next presentation just quickly takes you through what makes up the big cash that we're sitting with in the balance sheet. It does not necessarily mean that these are resources, surplus resources, but these resources are committed in the following ways. I think 14.8 million of which is committed to third-party funds. So these are funds that we have received from our partners in the previous financial year. The implementation of the program was not completed at year-end, so as at year-end, we still had 14.8 million that we're sitting with in terms of resources that we've received from third parties, the implementation of which, some of which was completed in the first quarter of this new financial year 17-18. 21.8 million of it was committed in terms of the liabilities that are sitting in the balance sheet. 22.7 million of which is committed in terms of funds that are yet to be still to be dispersed to funded programs. Then, obviously, at the end of the financial year, we had committed expenses and purchase orders that were where the services were still being rendered as at the 31st of March to the value of 17.4. Then we had a surplus of 24.8 2 million. In terms of the surplus, obviously, in terms of the PFMA, we have already submitted a request to National Treasury to retain the 24 million so that in the current financial year we can increase service delivery by retaining the resources that are in surplus from the previous financial year. In terms of the second part of the balance sheet, which is the liability side, our liabilities amount to the value of 36 million, which are made up of, as I've indicated, 14.8 million are funds that we're sitting with on behalf of the partners that we are implementing programs on their behalf. We still have, we still had 14.8 million at the year end. We had creditors to the value of 7.5. Then we had employee benefits. These basically are made up of your provision for leave, those that have structured a 13th check in their salaries to the value of 9.8 million. Then we had provision for committed projects to the value of 4.1 million. So in summary, this is how the balance sheet of the organization is structured. Then, thanks, Chairperson. I think that's it in terms of the financial report, and I think the last two slides, I think they cover what were the challenges that we encountered in the current financial year, and what are the recommendations to address those. I'll hand over back to the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Challenges that we experienced as an NDA was that the repositioning and the restructuring of the organization created program implementation challenges in terms of rearranging and reallocating the workload to the staff in reference to reskilling and aligning to the transition that we were entering into. The expansion to the district meant new personnel at district level had to be trained in program implementation, and this took longer than anticipated. I think during first quarter, the anticipation was such that the planning and everything will be finalized. Come second quarter, the implementation would have hit the road running. But due to the negotiations of infrastructure in terms of offices and office space, it was delayed. Hence, we resorted to say we rather have field workers down in the field than to wait for brick and mortar structures for us to appoint before we can implement. The CSO development framework was finalized towards the end of the 2016-2017 financial year, which had a major impact on the finalization of the tools used to as the portfolio of evidence for program reporting. This was evident when the AG was on site to check in terms of quarter one and quarter two. That is when work was done in terms of mobilization, in terms of engaging with communities. But the tools that we had committed to use where AG would measure us on was finalized later than what was captured and done on the ground. So when they came to assess our performance, it was based on that the tool was developed later and that was not communicated to AG on time to say, yes, work was done, but was not captured according to the tool that we had presented to AG for them to assess. Number three, we have stabilized the program. Okay, in terms of how we're coming around in making sure that we provide the remedy and mitigation on such challenges going forward, we have stabilized the program implementation in the district, and we have agreed with AG in terms of the tool that has been finalized and that we're going to use going forward in terms of them measuring us on. And the newly appointed development officers have been trained in terms of how community mobilization and how the CSO framework model works. We have developed an audit turnaround strategy to address the performance information shortcomings. We have finalized the development of tools for reporting on performance information. Then the development officers, as I had said earlier, have been trained on the related tools that need to happen. We recommend that the portfolio approves the 2016 NDA annual report. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much for your intervention. Can I call for the members? Ms. Masopa,
Abrams, Mama Wilson. Mama Sako after Wilson. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much to the CEO for NDA with the presentation. I want to talk to slide number 27. I heard something like savings. I did not get it very well. It was like savings. Maybe if the CEO can just, or CFO can just repeat that savings. Yeah. You talk about the savings there. And the delay, I don't know, savings and the delay, there was something like this. Yeah. You said there was a delay and so whilst they are checking, let me continue with the other thing. Yeah. Okay, on page 67 of the actual annual report, there is a deficit of a receipt of 10.4 million. You go on the 9.3, the board meetings, but there are no reasons to say if you have planned to say that number of meetings of the board will be like that when there are more. There's supposed to be a reason to say why it was more, so that when you say that you spent more than what was budgeted for, because we don't know where did you get that money to pay more for what you really budgeted for. There must be a reason. There must be correct reason, like today that we demanded to see the board member being part of this meeting, you know, something of that sort. And then this 9.51, maybe if you can just explain the reasoning behind that, because I don't think it's a correct thing. It's something that you need to correct in future. And the other thing is around the Auditor General's report. There is an indication that there is an inadequate monitoring of supply chain management, which has resulted to failure, to the non-compliance with SCM. What plan are you having in place, or you will have in place, to try and deal with this thing? And also, on the issue of those that are not complying, you know, if there is a law or the policy, you need to comply with. If you don't comply with, because it's part of accountability, accounting of what you are doing, there must be consequences. You indicated on some of, I don't know whether it's related to this thing of the nun, because really, if you don't, because in all, also, you are part of regression around the issue of this audit outcome, which really we don't appreciate as members. And we don't know why it is that is happening. You must really deal with it and tell us what is it that you have done. Because if nothing is happening, I think the board members must deal with the CEO. If he's failing to act. If you fail to act, you know, if you are a CEO, you don't need to be popular, because you must comply, you know. If you don't comply, because we don't talk with a CFO, because you are the accounting officer. PFMA talks about the accounting officer. If you don't account as an accounting officer, I think consequence management must really be applied and come up with. you know, in the supply chain, as they are saying, you don't comply with. It means to say that to the criteria that you need to follow in the supply chain, you don't have a checklist, you know. There is no daily control on the measures to say, I tick this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. I think because the board member is here also, because maybe in the next financial year we don't want to see this finding. It must not be fair to deal with. But we congratulate you that at least, although there are findings, but you have received unqualified audit outcome. But really, the regression is not good with us. We don't take it. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, my colleague has touched quite a bit. I think I just want to reiterate the Auditor General's theme, accountability. Accountability equals plan plus do plus check plus the Act. And if everybody just adheres to the Act, that is what guides us legislation, then we won't have all these. The other one that he had was corruption. Where is my piece of paper? Corruption. I also like to share, because I said I will use it until next time I see you. Corruption, C equals M, which is monopoly, plus D, discretion, and they say officials is responsible there, and it minus accountability. That is what corruption is. So we will be preaching corruption, what is corruption, because sometimes people accuse people of corruption, and they don't know how corruption takes place. You sometimes indirectly get involved with corruption. So stay clean. Thank you. Chairperson, yes, my colleague has touched that you received an unqualified audit. However, the material findings of non-compliance, again, if people can just comply. And then, you know, we all, I think, ask the same questions about the consequences. Who follows up, who monitors that? Because if you do a daily check on what is taking place, it won't happen. I mentioned this morning, too, in the AG that I come from the private sector, where if you work from month to month, they give you a month to correct what you have to correct. So if you don't balance, you won't go home. You won't sleep. And unfortunately, in the old dispensation, you'll be fired without any excuse, because you're interrupting the process. And in this case, where we with public funds and our people are suffering while we are doing all these other things. Also, I'd like to know, how do you address the consequences? Because you find that you've spoken to people, you've given them training, you mentioned their training has been done. But what is the monitoring? The monitoring is very important. Since you're giving training and you tell them, okay, you mustn't do this again, and you know, and everybody apologizes, and it continues for the next year. Your staff complement of people with a disability, 1.8%. Why so difficult? Are you struggling to find the other percentage? There's so many unemployed people with a disability, qualifications with degrees and whatever you're looking for, they're out there. If you can't find them, there's a few people here. We know people with disability that would qualify. Does it matter to plan correctly? On my colleague has also touched on page 67 with the deficits. Because I think if you plan correctly, then you won't have postponements and go into a deficit of that amount. Because why postpone and then you're going to have money that you don't have, use money that you don't have? Also on the board meetings, how do you plan this planning properly? Having more meetings for the sake of having meetings. What was the cause of having more meetings on that? Then on page 77, irregular expenditure. You've got PPFA there. I doubt if you can just tell me what PPFA stands for. Quotations awarded with PPFA. I know triple PFA. I don't know if it's the same. And year two, it's a compliance, you know, but what is the consequences? People just, it seems to me that it's a tick box, you've done it, it doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you do it before the year end. And that is not acceptable, and I think throughout all the departments we need to really come down hard on there, because we're losing lots of money while our people are suffering out there. Again, the auditor said we must keep our eyes on it every day, not when it comes to checking the books. Every day you find that people are sitting back, relaxing while things are not being done right. It should be done correctly. Then, yes, thank you, Chairperson. I'd just like to appeal that Public funds is taxpayers' money, and it's supposed to be used for our people out there. They are very poor. That we use it correctly and not just do a tick box. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Member.
Thank you. I have huge concerns. In terms of the AG's report, there's a regression, and I think that is seriously alarming. And particularly when he's raised specific concerns over effective HR management, regular, accurate and complete financial performance reports, and review and monitoring of compliance. Those are serious issues. And in fact, I just want to read what he actually said in the annual report. The entity did not have an adequate performance management system to maintain records to enable reliable reporting on the achievement of targets. Sufficient appropriate audit evidence could not be provided in some instances, while in other cases the evidence provided did not agree with the recorded achievements. I was also unable to confirm the reported achievement by alternative means. Consequently, I am unable to confirm the validity, accuracy, or completeness of the reported figures or determine whether any further adjustments were required to the reported achievements. So please excuse me if I do not take the presentation we've just got seriously, because according to the AG, none of that can be verified or backed up. None of it. That's what he stated in his annual report. I think that's a terrible indictment on you as an entity. It's actually quite horrific. What concerns me even more is, having read that, I go through the annual report and discover that 708,000 Rand was paid out on performance bonuses. Performance on what? Because your performance, particularly in terms of this annual report, is abysmal. It's abysmal. Why are we paying performance bonuses when you've actually regressed, and you've regressed quite badly? I find that terribly alarming. In terms of the annual report, page 67, I think this is all the variances. Some of those are very alarming. I think we need explanations on that, please. And finally, on page 76 and 77 of your annual report, horrifying, fruitful and wasteful expenditure, over R1 million. And for this year, expenses related to the venue and training that did not take place, and for a conference venue that was paid and not utilized to the tune of R1 million. Not acceptable under any man's term. We are here to uplift the poor and vulnerable and to create opportunities, not to spend money so badly. And then on the irregular expenditure in the current year, that was fruitful and weightless. Irregular expenditure. Approval of contract not in accordance with delegations of authority. 6.7 million. Quotations awarded without PPFA evaluation. 879,000. Three quotations not received without written approval. Deviations not approved by the delegated official. That is alarming. 1.2 million. Functionality evaluation incorrectly followed. 688,000. Requests for proposals issued without indication of functionality weighting. And most alarming, because now we're talking, this is where people start instantly using the word corruption, instantly. Competitive bidding not followed, 9.9 million rand. You're not the biggest entity in the world, and yet your irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful is astronomical, not acceptable. And I think that we need to have serious, because we talked about supply chain management and we've talked about consequences, very serious consequences need to be taken here. And quite frankly, I think we should be getting performance bonuses back from the management who allowed this to happen. Thank you.
So all of the members are covered. Okay, please don't uncover yourself when I go past. Can you make a response?
Yeah, this one.
I was trying to check with the
with the CFO. What is the difference between saving and the money not utilized? Because to me, the saving, you budget for a certain deliverables, you spend on it, you achieve it, but you have got a remainder. That's what I think it's a saving. But not to spend, and you say it's a saving, it's a savings. I don't understand it, because you said there was a delay, you never spend the money, and you call it a saving when you fail to deliver. Because the delays in spending the money talks to the failure to plan correctly. I don't know why do you say it's a savings? Yeah, that's a question. Why is it a savings when you did not achieve what you planned, what you budgeted for?
Before you respond, Honorable Malchus, will you listen to the chair? You wanted to be on the floor. It's your turn now. Thank you.
I'm just picking up something that the Honorable Michelle just discussed with me. It was the variances, because look at the variances was brought up on page 66. And now, you know, she's making a comparison. Were you calling something a saving? And, you know, a saving could be under expenditure, but there you have variances. That is an over expenditure. So I think the whole concept you'll have to explain to us there. Thank you.
I will ensure that we give the first opportunity to the board member if you want to make an intervention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Look, intervention wouldn't be the correct word for for my input. Yeah, thanks, Chair. Look, as a member of the board, I greatly appreciate all the input. I can assure you, and I think the CEO can assure you, that every issue that you've raised was raised, debated, argued. Similar perspectives have been raised in board meetings. So it's really encouraging to see how observant and how carefully you went through the reports. There were even one or two issues which I had not noticed that were raised by the portfolio committee. So it shows the importance of our structure, where there is a board, but there's an oversight committee and so on. There are just two issues I'd want to respond to. One is the issue of the board meetings. That is a complicated one, because as a board member, on one hand, the executive allocates a budget for how many board meetings you have. On the other hand, you're meant to provide oversight. So I would want to appeal for an understanding in that regard, that the board actually fought that they must have the right to have their meetings to look into various issues. Not because if you look at the amount that board members is a paid with what the board members' remuneration is, and I think the highest paid person over a year was 180,000 for board membership fees. I don't think, looking at the caliber, including people like Ambassador Chikane and other people, that money is an incentive for them to want to have board meetings, but rather I'd want to say that the board want to play their role, and I'd actually like to compliment the CEO in enabling that we have the meetings we needed to have. And the arguments and debates and the issues that we wanted to raise were part of those board meetings. But having said that, there isn't any excuse for us in the NDA board, as well as the executive, to not plan better, that it shouldn't be a variance from the budget. It shouldn't be a variance. Mm-hmm. We should be able to have a much better estimate and understanding of what the cost was. And my understanding with the shifting of the budget for that is there seemed to be a much larger budget for the transportation of board members versus the board membership fees and logistics or something. So there was a shift on that. Then the other issue raised was the issue of performance bonuses. Mm-hmm. I can assure you, I sit in the human resource subcommittee, and I can assure you we were not so excited about this issue as the board, but we deliberated at depth and extensively on the issue. The problem we felt as board members, and why we were okay with it eventually, with a heavy heart, was on the basis of a precedent having been set and an understanding with employees, and management, by the way, did not receive bonuses last year based on the precedent that had been set. However, we raised all of the issues that were raised, and we were quite clear, and the CEO also undertook that going forward next year, that there would be a more personalized and a better performance evaluation process, because certainly next year, I think the executive and the board are quite aware that it's not going to be like this year. This year it was we were not comfortable with what we did, but it was on the basis of it being a precedent and somewhat of an employment understanding between the employer and the employee that this is what they needed to do and this is the guidelines that were there. But certainly we share the concerns that have been raised by the honorable members. The board will take all of the issues you've raised seriously and back to our board meeting. I will feed it back to the board meeting and we'll continue to deliberate it. But I must also mention that the CEO in board meetings did also seem to take the matters very seriously. So as a board member, I want to suggest that we also see what the executive are able to do going forward. But that's my opinion as such. The board will continue to be as staunch and harsh as we can to push for such discrepancies not to occur in future. Thank you, Chair.
This agency has been facing a lot of difficulties for some time. And I'm sure other employees are new and other employees have been there for some time. But the CEO is quite new, and how I wish she could have an opportunity to trace back how this particular agency has been operating and what were its achievements and its failures. Because I think when you first CEO presented the plan and the organogram that we have been calling for some time as this portfolio committee, we applauded you very well. But back to the DSD acting DG, I think we find a lot of duplication and the reputation of doing the same things, because SASSA will talk of the same activities that they do on the ground. You also are directly linked in terms of you also going there. And also that you say some of the work that you even went beyond the expectation because you operated together with the other programs, your outreach in the form of Imikonzo and other activities. I think the problem that we face, I had a long discussion. What is your position now, sir? Mr. Makongo, sorry. Oh, I nearly pronounced it properly. It was Ngwa instead of Ngo.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm responsible for development management and research.
Yes. I had a discussion when I met you sometime about the skeletons that you yourself know are out there. Projects that were established and never finished while all the money was used. Long time, even, yes, I can mention BIS and Mzimkulu. I can mention Mzimfubu, which now falls under, is in Manfred, and is therefore many of them that were funded by NDA. Yes, I've been there for a long time, and I know a lot of things. And I raised this with you, because those funds were allocated. Look here, CEO and board member, Mr. Aneko.
those were funds that would be applied for by a particular group. And therefore, those funds would be allocated to the so-called NPO or NGO. Remember that Transkei into that was given a lot of money to. And nothing ever happened in those projects, and they have died. And then I said, it is important to learn from your mistakes, and no, I never want to repeat them. Because these middlemen, or middlewoman, to be better off, that continues to say, I've applied for so-and-so. The BC project was allocated to an NGO, I don't know what the name, but it was Mr. Lang. The first thing he bought was a van. The next was something else. And those women got absolutely nothing. It's only because I was an MP responsible for Umzimkhulu that time. That's why I know. And I know where the site is. I also spoke to the CEO that be careful of using one, absolutely one pattern. For example, I haven't heard you talking anything about local government. Absolutely. Actually coming to that sphere of government. And those officials at that level, how I wish then one day you would bring them to this portfolio committee. Because they don't link with those people. Simply because, Nelly, they don't want to be known what they are doing. They run away as much as possible from any other coexistence with a sphere of government. I do know you will be handing over a uniform together with the minister in Lusikisiki. But I do know that the trainer comes from Port St. John's and has trained Port St. John NGOs or cooperatives to then supply wards and schools in Lusikisiki, in Uza Hill municipality. Where will you hold this event? Because you will have to hold it in Nguza Hill municipality. But the NGO that you have empowered and the cooperatives that you have empowered belong to Port St. John's. Sure. But the beneficiaries are in Lusikisiki, 8 cooperatives. When you hold this event with the minister present and you say, here is the NGO that we have empowered. Here are the cooperatives that were trained and the uniform, but it's going to be supplied on Inuza Hill villages. Because of a lack of wanting to understand whom are you working with. You know, this thing can't be technical, the CEO. There's a lot of social engagement that needs to take place, because instead of uniting communities, it actually disintegrates them and makes a feeling that seeks to say we are being undermined. How do you bring food all the way from Free State to go and feed communities right in KwaZulu-Natal? How do you do that? The same applies to projects where we went. I want to emphasize this matter, that I had thought that one honorable member, when we were dealing with DSD, had to ask, I don't know whether she got that answer, but we're still going to meet with DSD, that how do you do construction if you are social development? What skill do you have to put those specifications? Because in nature, you are not responsible for building. You are responsible. All you need is an accommodation for your project. But to start building it on your own, there will be cancellation of contracts for many times. Because even the specification, indeed, you are what type of a brick, what type of what. But I'm going back to use that a scenario to you as a NDA. How do you manage to do the highest level of agriculture, hydroponics? Because even an ordinary extension officer can't actually supervise and assist in that, because it is highly scientific and it requires people who've got a skill in that. And most of your projects, including DSD, most of yours, Zindente and Jesus Lalele Park, Osa Junis, or Flagstaff, these tents all over, because there was never a skill to manage a hydroponic. And also this specialization, leaving agriculture out. I don't mean take money to agriculture, but we have spoken about partnerships, but we have not actually gone into, we went to Zamimi Zamemihle. Were we in Zamemihle when we went to KZN? Where those young people were given close to 2 something million. They said to us they had harvested. But when we came there, there was no sign that there has been a harvest before. But it was not for us to argue that. But they told us a lot about a tomato. They wanted to have them for tomato. They wanted to supply a Pick n Pay or ShopRite. But there was no sign that they would ever be able to do that, given the size of the tunnel. But more money was used to buy containers and coolers. This is actually trying to illustrate the danger you will have, a board member, if you don't start from small, but you go to the highest level of specializing. But that project is strategically seated in a township. There's free water from the river, but they buy water from the municipality. That's what these are the monies that we're talking of, funds, that how they utilize the funds. If they had planted potatoes, I think the villagers would have plenty to buy. Spinach, plenty to buy. But my worst disappointment was when no one knew how to plant onion. Mm-hmm. Onion was this size in height, but not any onion below, because the soil has not been removed. And also there was other turnip what in the same rows. Yet the money went out. I am saying this in this portfolio committee meeting without any complaint, but actually saying it is important to go out, so says Martin Luther King. Now that you are free, go back to the people. Stay with the people. Learn from the people and build on what they have. Elokishin, ungahlala ufuna ukuyonika uShoprite, ungathengisa ispinach namazambane nombontshisi nombona konke nje la kubantu, without going this expense ongazukwazi ukuyisustaina. Le mizamo mihle must wake up again. Because uthi, what does the MDA says to us? We have moved out because it's over 3 years now. The norm is that we move in, we exit after 3 years, leaving what? What sustainability are you having? This experience applies across. But I think the best thing is to actually look into your target market before you think about the highest competition in the country. Because in Dabayama hydroponics, in Dabay foreign, China, we are not used to planting in rooms. We plant out there.
and wait for rain for that matter to come. But we have survived all the years. I'm trying to say, beyond what you have presented so well, you were really convincing, but I think we must link your level of accounting with the actual output so that service delivery can happen. I just want to close with that because we have not worked together for a long time. You are a new CEO, and this particular entity has been in difficulties, but you have tried to lift it forward. I know why you have all these challenges that honorable members are honestly raising. It's because of the background that I know of this particular agency. And I'm very clear, a board member, it's going to be moving forward. It was totally not there when you were picking the pieces and putting them together. But I think we are going to sit on your neck so that, yes, the board has not come to report to us. We're still going to invite the board. We're still going to share a lot of trying to show what is happening out there. And therefore, we hope for the best. I wouldn't condemn you at all, because at least if there are pieces that you seem to be putting together and making it work, and we believe you will. So I think now that there are no more questions, I can say there are no more questions. I think all these issues I can relate back to you. This is why it has happened, because there was this and there was this. I can tell you how much funds we lost in that particular entity, in how it was managed, and we look forward to an improvement and a better management. But with your honesty, giving us all the information and attempts, we believe something is going to happen, and which will surprise us as well. Do members want to add more? Respond, please. These questions, they still are. I wanted to allow you to go. Members want their answers. Mem Masang, I couldn't get away, ne? Okay.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. I think I'll start first with a question that related to the difference between an underspending and a saving. I think the member is correct. If you have planned to do something, a saving will be an instance where you had planned to do something, you still achieve it, but you can achieve it at a lesser cost than you had planned. And I think my apologies for using the terms interchangeably. I should not have done that. I think in terms of the district offices, it was not a saving per se. I think it was an underspending, because there were delays in the implementation of the program. It was implemented later than it was planned. I think my apologies for using the terms in that fashion. Yeah. Okay. And I think most of the questions or the concerns of the committee related to consequence management and supply chain. I think in the corrective actions that the CEO has taken us through, I think there is an audit turnaround strategy. So basically, the audit turnaround strategy is more to deal with the issues around non-compliances. So I think in terms of that plan will on a quarterly basis be audited by our internal audit and be presented to the board, so that we can give the comfort that in terms of non-compliances that we are continuously making progress towards addressing the issues of non-compliance. I think consequence management, since the CEO came in, I think if we look at, I think there's a page that relates to disciplinary actions and warnings, and some of the warnings that you see in that relate to the cases that have been investigated around irregular expenditure. There's one case that has taken longer, and there is a report that is forthcoming to the CEO's office in terms of a recommendation of an independent investigator who was requested to assist the NDA in dealing with the issues of non-compliance. So I think in terms of non-compliance, we're not there yet, but I think we are moving towards implementing consequence management. And there was a question in terms of what does the triple PFA mean. I'm sorry for... It means for, or actually it should be triple, it's triple PFA, yes, but I think it was a typo there, it's not double P, it's triple PFA, yeah. Thanks, CEO, if I've missed any questions.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think you've covered quite much. I think I would just want to respond to the HR management as it was picked up by Honourable Member and inclusive of AG remarks. I think in that one, we are in the position now that we have filled all the executive management positive positions, we are stable. We have stabilized the ship, and there are clear areas of priority in terms of AG report and internal audit, which has become a weekly plan for each and every employee from the junior SCM in the front desk up to my office level, so that we monitor them. The turnaround strategy that we're implementing, it will be talking exactly to how do we make sure that we are clean as much as we can. But on the AG's remarks, I want to give a response to say, in our engagement with them, we agreed that as much as the opinion was expressed as such, but work was done on the ground. It was an issue of NDA not meeting the timelines of developing the tools as we had presented that we will be assessed according to that tool. So that was the understanding. They wanted to audit the system that we had presented to them, only find that we had challenges with the system itself and the tools were not talking to the system. So that was a misalignment. So this year we've corrected that to say, if we are experiencing such in misalignment, we immediately need to inform them, they sit down, they take note of that, so that when they come to audit, we have to align, not that work was not done. Thank you, Chairperson.
Any question that was not asked, that was not answered, because I do know that members charge according to the information in front of them. So if the information you're raising was not part of this document, no takers anymore. Are we ready to draw towards the... What happened?